one of them. Bosch and Lomb, they're still in business of making lenses. There, could they be another?
Lens manufacturers in the film and broadcast industry, pretty much a Canon, Angenum, Fujinon, Arri, as an Arriflex. B&L doesn't really make products for that anymore. They're pretty much concentrated on scientific and microscopes and that sort of thing.
I see. Well, I guess you get what you pay for. If you pay $35,000 for a lens, you get absolutely what you pay for. You see clearly what you want to see. That's very interesting. I never realized that things were that expensive for camera. That's amazing, though. But I guess it is what it is. But a big broadcast, you buy what? A handful of field cameras for doing stuff, and it's got to work.
Now, you know, you got to remember the technology marches on, things get smaller. So it used to be a dozen boys in a camera, is now one FPGA. So, you know, the costs have come down, the size has shrunk. I own two 4K cameras that are actually industrial grade. They cost about a grand a piece. Actually, one of them's $3,000, one of them's $1,000. And they do a really good job. You know, they have their own built-in lenses and not detachable like really good broadcast stuff, but they make a fabulous picture. You know, you can get away with almost nothing, as opposed to if you're doing sports where you've got a lens that's got a T number, or let's call it a left number of 2.5, and the thing pulls out to, 1,500 or 2,000 millimeters. It's a really complex lens. It's big, it's heavy, it's a lot of glass, and it costs, you know, 60 or 80 grand.
Well, I didn't realize the stuff was that expensive. That's amazing. But not like it used to be. Interesting, though. Very interesting. Well, I guess it's going to be an interesting field. I guess it'll keep you busy for the next couple of years, most certainly.
Yeah, well, I had my share of being busy. I mean, I had an intermittent problem in the Channel 21 transmitter that took me about 9 months to finally find it. Turned out to be an opto-isolator, but it just doesn't happen all the time. Most of the time it works well, and then occasionally it flips off, and the transmitter goes off the air, and it says an expletive deleted. And then as soon as you go look at it, it turns itself on and starts working. You scratch your head, you have no idea where the problem was.
Yeah, but you have backups for things. If you have a backup transmitter, so if one transmitter failed, you have a backup. Now, this raises an interesting question. Don't they have people watching the actual output over the air of what you're sending to the populace? I mean, it goes out in probably various different directions or by modes over fiber to this guy, to that guy, but it also goes over the air. About 2 weeks ago, RF-25 was putting out a full-strength carrier, but if you listen to the modulation, any place the carrier sounded like a trunked data system channel. TV decoder, all it saw was zero. It indicated full strength as far as the bar meter goes, but the converter said no signal. And it was like that for almost 24 hours. I'm surprised something like that would go on for so long.
No, I'd actually explain that to you. First of all, on the transmitter, because you see this Nyquist filtered output, most of it is actually random, pseudo-random numbers, which are being generated by the transmitter's exciter. The part that actually has the information, which is a stream, which is put in, it either goes in by something that we call ASI, or comes in over something else called 310, or it comes in as ASI encapsulated in IP. When that goes away, the transmitter keeps putting out pseudo-random numbers, but the receiver says, I see no sync words, I see nothing, there's no signal. And why that happens is, let's see, 25, I forget who it was that moved there. But anyway, you either get your signal to your transmitter via fiber or a microwave, and sometimes Spectrum, which is in the city, which used to be Time Warner, they are such a mess that they will disconnect you and not even tell you about it. And all of a sudden, all your nice signals to the transmitter disappear. And that's happened to us on a number of occasions. And we have microwave backup. So, you know, at least we have a secondary way. Some of the other stations that have just moved, you only got the one path to World Trade, and when it dies, they're dead.
WWOR, is that what you're thinking of? Channel 9 used to be an RF-38, and they moved to Channel 25 about 3 or 4 months ago, and then now I've digital Channel 48 from Poughkeepsie is riding on top of them also. But I'm just surprised, I was surprised to see it run for about almost 24 hours in that format, and I guess nobody caught it. Nobody was looking at the over-the-air.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
You timed out a little bit. They're watching, but sometimes when you only got one path, it's like you got to wait for the service provider to give you your path back, so... that's why we have one of the first things we did when we put this stuff up at World Trade is we put up a new microwave link.
Interesting story about paths. I'll tell you quickly. When I worked for 9X Mobile like 25-something years ago, they used to have a lot of their cell sites connected by, you know, fiber and things like that. Sometimes copper, but a lot of it was fiber. And the way they fed it, like multiple strings of fiber to a cell site, they went through two different paths. Well, in one particular case, they did go through two paths and they left the cell site, but when they went to go into Manhattan, to go into the switch, they were all going through the same tunnel, and some bum set a fire in the tunnel and roasted a lot of cables. So a lot of stuff went completely, like, off the air, just like that. So I do know what diversity is.
Yeah, well, when you're talking about cell sites, you've got an advantage, you know, the next cell site, depending upon where you are, might only be a couple miles away, if any, and, you know, you're still servicing your customers, even though you have a dead site.
Yeah, well, it's always good to have backups, microwave backups. Do you have a backup from your studio in, I guess, wherever 21 Studio is now? Can you hit the Trade Center directly?
No, 13 Studio is in Lincoln Center, and actually 13 is on 50th Street. There we have two dark fibers. The reason for the dark fibers is we won JPEG 2000 rather than MPEG because we can't deal with the latency. You know, when you're doing a show in the control rooms at 50th Street and the studio's in Lincoln Center, you know, a 2 or 3 second delay is totally unacceptable. So the thing with using our motion JPEG 2000 is the latency is only about 300 milliseconds.
I didn't think you had that kind of latency in fiber circuits.
It's not the fiber, okay? It's the method of taking a data rate, which actually when you're talking about output from a high def camera, the data rate is 1.16 gigabits per second. Feeding that over a hunk of fiber or Ethernet, there's a limit to the speed. So if you've got 6 cameras, you need, you know, 12 gigabits worth of bandwidth. And even with fiber, you'd think that fiber is unlimited. And unless you're doing wave division multiplex, the ability of the light source and the photo detector, they've got a particular slew rate, you know, you can't exceed that. So the actual number of bits that you can stuff through there becomes somewhat limited.
And they haven't got around that problem yet, have they?
No, what we do is see, what you're watching on your TV is MPEG 2. Even the best MPEG 2 encoders have a latency of something like, a second and a half, 2 seconds of latency. Most of them are more. The reason for that is that when we create MPEG, especially MPEG 2, we're actually just creating a string of coefficients and those coefficient numbers are being transmitted. And the way we reduce the amount of bits that you actually need to send is occasionally we send all the bits. Sometimes we send what's called a bidirectional frame, which has little bits of the last frame, little bits of the next frame. And then we send something called a predictive frame, or a B-frame, which basically might be, you know, 4 or 5, 6 frames ahead. And we're only sending information of what changed, or what has more temporal motion in it, things of that nature.
This is as good as the regular neck joke, which you called me before. Now all we need is Paul to give a space report and we'll be all set.
Yeah, I guess if Paul's out there, he's welcome to do that. No, anyway, Joe, MPEG 4 doesn't have as much latency as MPEG 2 does. And then what we, the thing that we do, 4K or Ultra HD, it's called HVC or HEVC, High Efficiency Video Codec. There's a considerable amount of latency there, but you're taking something that's actually about 6 gigabits in the stream and scrunching it down to, well, we're scrunching it down to maybe 30 megabits. Whereas we're taking, now we're taking the 1.16 gigabit stream and we're cranking it down to maybe 18, if you're talking about CBS or PBS, or 14 megabits per second. That's, you know, a compression ratio of 150 to 1.
And with the new TV format that only, you know, wants more bandwidth, you're still going to have a problem where, you know, you only have so much bandwidth to be able to send so much stuff over that particular carrier. So you do reach a limit against the stuff, don't you?
Now, whether it's ATSC or ABSB, you got 6 megahertz to work with. That's the width of the channel. Europeans have it a little bit better because their channels are 8 megahertz. They're about 8 megabits wide. They're 8 megahertz wide. Man, I'm confusing megahertz with megabits. We transmit 19.39 megabits in our 6 megahertz. And when we get to ATSC3, we'll be able to transmit 38 megabits. So there's a big difference in bandwidth.
Okay, very good. How's your trek going, getting near your studio?
Say again?
I said, how's your trek going? I think you said you were you're heading towards your TV location, right?
Yeah, I'm just around the corner. In about a minute, I'll be pulling up to the gate.
Okay. Yeah, I was interested to get the information from you. If I don't get it this week, I'll ask about it next week about the particular transmitted down from Washington, D.C. You said that's currently on the air with the newer over-the-air format.
I don't know what channel it is off the top of my head, but I'll be able to tell you in a few minutes. And they're on air 24 hours a day, and they've been running continuously now for about almost a year. You know, they've upgraded it as the technology has upgraded, so. Give me a few minutes, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, very good. Well, June 2019, I guess, is that's pretty much the cutoff date for a lot of broadcasters that, I guess, eventually they'll have to all vacate those frequencies above RF 38 and up. Because occasionally the band opens up, I still see RF 48 from Washington, D.C. It's like a Channel 4, I think, affiliate or something like that. Not often, but I see it occasionally.
Yeah, and you'll probably continue to see that well into 2020. The reason for moving, you know, everybody's got to move. Everybody's on new channels. Although a lot of the stuff that the FCC did, nobody quite understands. Like, why did we move 13 to 12? There's a whole lot of mishigash going on with that. But the fact that we're July 2019, there's two sections of the country that have already made the transition to new channels. It's all done by region, so it's not the whole country changes 2019.
Okay. All right. Very good. I haven't seen too many portable TVs come out with the digital format. I guess what are those people doing? Waiting for the finality of ATS 3.0, and then they can decide whether they want to make portable TVs like people used to be able to carry to the beach and watch TV from the beach.
As far as the FCC is concerned, we can make the change now, but the problem is, ain't no receivers. Nobody should be transmitting and wasting electricity. Nobody watching except for maybe you. So, no, once the receivers are on their way, once they get here, then everything will probably change really quickly.
Okay. I'm going to take a stand back for a little while. I'll be listening on the radio for a while. If you happen to be able to go in, duck in, and come back out with that information, that'd be appreciated. It'd be to Roy Roy.
Hi, Joe. I actually got a radio inside, so that's why I usually hang out anyway. So we're to Roy Roy. I'll catch you in a little bit. K2J.
W-E-2-R-Y-Y, KC-1-S-A-M. Yeah, I'm going to be standing by too, Joe, 73, and thanks for the Q-74.
No problem. Well, according to Eric, you'll be able to get some use out of that box for quite a number of years, which is good. I virtually bought two of them, and then I had to buy one replacement after buying my third one. One of my original ones crapped past. I actually have four of them, and one's like disrepair right now. Enjoy yourself with the thing. Hook it up sometime soon. You'll see how much fun they are to operate. KC1SAM, WH4YY.
Oh, yeah, well, I definitely appreciate you giving me that info, Joe. Just a few things going on, and it's a little low priority at the moment. But I'll get to it, along with trying to figure out how to get a roadway up there, put it up to a 2-meter up there first, then put the TV, too. But, I'll work it out eventually. Have a good evening.
Should be that far from you, actually, from Connecticut, the one on RF9. I was surprised why you that you don't see them, actually.
On 9? No, I get WOR out of the city.
No, I was talking about RF-9, not Channel 9, Digital DT-9. DT-9 is on RF-25. You don't get too many low-band channels up there, do you? I mean, let you the lower high because of the way out of band for your antenna, right?
Very nice. What's going down to the city then? I'd probably be overloaded with too many channels if I could turn it, but I'd still like to be able to. But now I get OR. I'm just looking at that right now.
Yeah, I don't know where they are, if they're coming off the Trade Center or coming off of... Four Times Square, Empire, well, they can't be off Empire. I think they shut their stuff down up there. But I get them a lot stronger than what they used to be, so that's another good one that stays in most of the time.
Something I was confused about, with the NBC 4, I was getting 41, 42, 43, 44, then they switched from Empire to World Trade, and of course two of them dropped away. I forget which two. But now all four are back again. That's kind of a puzzle to me. Do you know if they're running all four? Those 4-1 and 4-3 are the same. 4-2 and 4-4 are the same. I don't know why they would have a duplicate. Over to you.
I'll tell you why if you want to know.
They dropped their transmitter on RF-28. And when, I think when they did that, they piggybacked on RF-36, which was I think NJU's transmitter. So now you'll get them plus NGU's digital channel 47, I think it is. But yeah, they're 41.1, 2, 3, and 4. They're all off the same transmitter now.
Why did they duplicate it though?
I think originally when they shut off their stuff on RF-28, they probably gave people a way of rescanning or doing something so they wouldn't lose over-the-air broadcasting.
Give me the answer.
Go ahead. Wait. Go ahead.
The fact that you see these numbers, 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, 4-4, those are virtual numbers. Basically, they only exist in one little packet in the stream. They're all coming from the transmitter World Trade on 36. Although they're not transmitting the full power they can, simply because the high-power UHF antennas aren't ready on the Trade Center. If you look at the top of the spire of the Trade Center, you'll see these little rings. The top ring has the low-power UHF antenna. The next one down has the high-power UHF antenna. And the next one down has the VHF antenna, which was just actually bought up, just finished 2 weeks ago. So now they're going back to finish working on the high-power UHF antenna, and probably another 4 weeks, depending upon the weather. And then the strength of the 36 will probably increase by a whole lot once they go there. The transmitter is actually huge, and right now they're only using a little part of it.
But why are they duplicating the same thing on both? Maybe I missed that, Eric. Back to you.
Normally we think of a channel number as a transmitter, you know, channel 10, channel 12. That's a transmitter, it's transmitting channel 12. Well, that's not the way it works. We can put as many channels as we want in a stream, or as you, the consumer, sees it as a channel, but it's really all the same IP stream that's being created. So, it's kind of like your internet. When you put in your browser a particular address, it makes the connection to that particular website, which is just an address. So the 4-1234 is really just an address in an IP stream. So it's not like 4-1, 4-2, or 7 transmitters. They're all coming from the same transmitter. It's just a digital stream that has different addresses in it, and your tuner picks up the address and says, oh, well, I need this video, I need that audio, and that's what it displays.
Okay. Anyway, it comes in pretty good. I can get that almost all the time up here. Very rarely. If it's foggy, I can't. Then I can't get this signal. but I guess when they change their transmitter, I start using the whole thing, it'll come in. Which is, you know, okay. I only use it a little while. Every day, basically, I watch the news.
Alright, so what I'm seeing coming from Washington is channel RF channel 18, and then there's another one I'm trying to locate it. One of them is part-time, one of them is full-time. You can search the web, they don't tell you anything. I'm looking through the some of the ATSC literature.
Well, if they're transmitting an RF-18, I'm not going to ever be able to see something from Washington, D.C. The signal coming from Four Times Square for WMBC or whatever they call themselves is way, way too strong.
Yeah, probably. They're actually, they're not really full power. They're sort of medium power. And, yeah, they come from full time.
The station in Washington is only running on, only running one newer ATSC 3.0 transmitter on the air right now, just one on one RF channel, or is it being done multiple places?
Now, in, let's see, WRAL down in South Carolina, they're also doing it. And in Texas, there's three stations. I had it just up here a minute ago. There's four stations, and in Oregon, there's three stations operating as a single frequency network. That's experimental at this point.
Okay, is this a website you're looking at, a particular website to be able to derive this information from?
No, I'm actually flipping through some paper here. This is actually broadcast industry papers. And there's some white papers, and you can find some information on ATSC 3 on the web. Of course, you can go to ATSC.org, too. There's stuff there.
Okay, very good. I'll check that out. I want to take a break on the radio for a while. Catch you later. WHYY.
All righty, Jim. K2J. Oh, if you're still listening, I remember what I wanted to say earlier, is that if Sinclair gets what they're trying to do, which would be the Tribune station, which would mean that Channel 11 might be the first one to go ATSC 3, because Sinclair is very much has been pushing this since the very beginning of digital transmission.
Okay, and if Channel 11 PIX did that, would they take this stuff and piggyback it elsewhere to be remain on the air with the older format?
Yeah, they would join forces with someone and put the older format on someone else's transmitter while they do the newer format on their current transmitter.
And you said eventually RF-13 is going down to RF-12. Where's RF-11 going to RF-13?
No, RF-11 stays on RF-11. As I said earlier, the FCC did some stuff that nobody quite understands.
I see. Well, I hope this, with these signal, the transmitters of these on these different channels, that with the trade centers, especially, get less, you know, side interference off of whatchamacallit from Hartford on RF-33, because when the band opened up throughout the summertime, it would always kill CBS with their crappy signal of Empire. But it's funny, after the repacking, CBS and Hartford are still going to be on the same frequency on RF-36. So if it happens once, it might happen again.
Yeah, if you're interested, I have a list of all the channel changes, and like NBC got paid $370-something million for giving up their air frequency. Here's some other interesting stuff. The Phoenix station is going to be sticking 3.0 in their market. There's a couple others. Anyway, go take your break. K2J.
Yeah, one other question just before I take a break for a while. RF-25 used to be a some sort of Spanish devoted channel. I think they had some English stuff and some other sub-channels, but they just completely went away. WASA or something like that. They used to say they were like from Port Jervis or something like that. They're on RF-25. They stayed there for quite a while, and it just disappeared. Well, I guess they sold their frequency to WWOR.
You know, don't forget, 25 was originally analog 25, and during the simulcast, they were transmitting on 24 as their simulcast frequency, and they decided to stay there rather than to move to their RF channel simply because it would cost them a heck of a lot to change the antennas at that point. If I can find the list, there were a bunch of stations that sold, which we actually took the licenses. They were actually given to us since we're a non-profit. And, yeah, it's like RNN up in Westchester. They sold for a couple of $100 million, and the piggyback on somebody else in Connecticut. So there's lots of things like that that happen. So it's all about money.
They were DT-48. I used to pick them up occasionally, but they'd turn the antenna to, like, northwest. I could get them pretty much all the time. They're off the air. They're piggybacked on WWOR's transmitter in the city. They're on the air currently.
Yeah, you know, some of the early changes were driven by T-Mobile, like in New Jersey, when they went to Channel 8. They actually paid to make that happen faster so they could get their frequencies freed up quicker.
Interesting. I haven't been able to find much information on how the plan is going to be divvied up after the TV broadcasters leave, going to, say, like, at some point in time, RF-38 going up all the way to 51. As I mentioned, it's going to become newer part of the LTE band. I see how some of the other, I'm able to find information on the current LTE frequency structure, knowing like uplink and downlink of this of equipment, but haven't been able to find much on the newer stuff. You have any idea what that's going to be doing? The reason I ask is I will have to change the filter in front of my preamp on the mass matter preamp up on the house, and right now it cuts off at 700 meg, but eventually I may have to change that to something that drops off to 600 meg and higher. It'll cut it off.
Now, the idea for a lot of these cell companies, they want to offer TV service. And in the 600 to 700 megahertz range, it does well for them. So you'll be seeing more Nyquist-filtered stuff, so I don't think you're really going to have to worry too much about it, at least now down on the bottom. It's not going to be the kind of impulse stuff that you see that they use for their cell services.
All right, well, whatever format they're running on the air, I looked in the area above, just above 700 megahertz, so it seems to be an uplink to one of the carriers, either T-Mobile or maybe AT&T. I think maybe it is T-Mobile or whatever. And I see a lot of stuff from like 702 to 78, 710. It must be like subscribers, mobile subscribers, because sometimes you see a signal strength, not super strong, but it's up there. It's up there as far as level it goes. That's why I was interested, curious to see which way they're going to, roll out the new part of the band, which way it's going to be structured, where uplink is higher going in or lower going in.
All right, I just found the page that has where everybody's going. So let's see. ABC stays on 7. PIX stays on 11. NYE stays on 24. They have NYW going to 27. PXN is on 34. Let's see. CBS goes to 33. What else? These are pretty much New York guys. You've got WWNY, which is low power at 18, but that's further north. Let me check New Jersey.
Now, do these broadcasters have to pay for the license for the frequency they're going to be going to, like you mentioned, NYW? Yeah, I think you're right. They're going to RF-27 eventually, coming off of RF-44. So when they relinquish their RF-44 frequency, they get money for doing that. But do they have to pay to be able to go now back to in a repacked area of RF-27 for that channel? Do they have to pay somebody that for that frequency? Because that was originally occupied by somebody up in Poughkeepsie, I think.
Well, it's quite the opposite, actually. The total sales of spectrum was something like $15 or $18 billion. The FCC allocated $1.5 billion to pay the stations to buy the equipment and antennas to move to their new assigned frequencies. So, basically, they're being paid to move.
Oh, they were being paid to move. Okay.
Yeah, it's an expensive proposition. Some people have to buy new transmitters, some people have to buy new antennas, some people have to buy a lot of things that change the power structure, like we got to reinforce our tower here in preparation for a new antenna, and of course the FCC pays for all that. And that money came from the proceeds of the auction.
I see. And everybody ends up happily at the happily ever after, most likely. Okay. Great. Great. Well, at least with your stuff, you don't have to move it around too much. These antennas, especially at USA, I thought these things have a little bit of a wider bandwidth, but maybe I'm wrong in that. If you want to channel an antenna operator, say, like RF-27, you got to buy one specifically made to work on that frequency so it maintains all your, you know, stringent specifications.
Well, like on the World Trade Center, the antennas are capable of working all the high VHFs, and you wind up with visuals in the center of your channel. Like my antenna on World Trade has a visual of 1 to 1.032. So, generally a broadcaster will buy an antenna that's least expensive, and it usually will be a single channel. Like, because of the transition that we were doing, my antennas will actually do both channel 21 and channel 22. But you can actually have antennas that cover an entire range of the band.
I see. Okay, I'm going to take a break off here for a while. W2RY, thanks, Eric.
Yeah, here's the caucus. They're on 38, they move to 25. Fenton, they're still on the channel 50, went to low power 22.
That's probably why CBS vacated their frequency a couple of months ago, and where they're broadcasting out on a ridge. That's good. At least everybody's moving along, making progress.
You know, actually, CBS was going to broadcast from here because they have a 22 antenna, but they had bought LNY, and boy, is Joe a very happy man. He got a lot of money out of that, but since they had the transmitter in the ridge, they decided to stay there.
Interesting you should mention that, W2RY. I can find them on one FCC website and look at it, which is able to display, like, for example, FCC licenses per channel, per state, or so forth. And I do see their transmitter license for Plainview. I do not see it for Ridge when they're operating on RF-22.
Yeah, that was the original filing. The FCC takes its time before it puts all its stuff back on its website. It's all corrected. They're so messed up right now. There's a lot of wrong information on their site.
Okay. Look, some of the stuff I looked at, it looked like it was fairly current. It seemed to be up to date, at least what they're doing now on the one thing I look at for channel locations per non-FCC, but like, it's part of an FCC website. That one, now they're giving you repacking information per channel of when the expected date and the new channel of the transmit that people are going to be going to, so that's helpful information at least. But I use another one off of, I think it's, like you said, with MB and engineering, something, I forget the exact thing. It'll let you do TV query, FM query. It's that part of that website. We do TV query and let you put in by state or by RF channel. And it's funny, in other parts of the country, they seem to be still using RF-14 in quite a few places on the West Coast, for example. You don't see that used at all around here at all. What's the deal with that? Are they going to, they're not pushing to get people on off that frequency band and go elsewhere?
It all depends upon population density here. With 18 is actually a misnomer, but public service actually occupies all the way up to channel 19, and it's funny because somebody put a channel 19 low power up on Glen Oaks, which had actually moved down from Connecticut. It was totally licensed by the FCC, except one department doesn't talk to the other. When they went on the air, about 200 different police departments started complaining very loudly.
I think they're in that, what frequency space, 500 or 506? Yeah, there's a lot of trunk stuff on the air, digital trunk stuff that occupies that area. I think a lot of it's more in New Jersey than anyplace else. But yeah, I'm sure from Glen Oaks they did a real bang-up job interfering with everything, didn't they?
No, it seems like the private radio department doesn't speak to the broadcast department and vice versa. By the way, do you pick up anything on channel 23?
Yes. WNJS from Trenton comes in when the band opens up occasionally. I used to pick them up most of the time. They're still there. I pick up other stuff on the same frequency also from, much further away from the area.
Believe it or not, there's a 23 listed in Smithtown, which is WFTY. And, of course, there's the Smutsy Boys out in the Hamptons that were originally on 50. I think they're now on 18. And it's WBVH.
Oh, I just mentioned that to Sam about that, because I've looked at that on the FCC website also, and I find on RF-50, it's licensed for I think it's Southampton, the studios in Southampton for the transmitter, like in East Hampton, probably up on the high hill, just before you hit Montauk. I have never been able to pick them up, but you say you think they moved to RF-18 now?
No, I think it's in July of 19 they have to move to 18. They're actually in Waynescott. I go and take care of them once in a while.
Well, Waynescott. I know there's a very tall transmitter tower on the east side of Southampton. By White's Lane or David's Lane or something like that. I don't know who's occupying that one. I know the college has a fairly moderately tall tower by Southampton College. But I thought the other station that was, they just mentioned on RF-50, I thought they're transmitting off of the antenna array up on the, by the dumps out in East Tampa. There's a very, very tall tower with two out there also.
BBH is right by the East Hampton at the airport. The antenna's on top of the building. The top of the antenna is maybe 60 feet off the ground. It's not very high.
Oh, so they're not where I think they're coming from. Okay. That would explain why I've never been able to pick them up over the air.
Yeah, the antenna's still low. He's only on a kilowatt, so not really. He got good coverage out to the east, but there's not that much east from where he is. You know, I don't know why it's actually listed in Riverhead. They're really in Ridge.
What'd you say, Ellen? Why? Yeah, them I knew about.
All right, well, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go back home. So you have a good evening, and actually, if you've got an email address, I'll send you some interesting pictures.
I'll turn my computer on possibly later. I'll just send you a link. I mean, I'll send you my email address, because I think I still have you in one of my computers from a long time ago, so you'll be able to catch it that way.
Very good.
Thanks, Eric. W2OYY.
All right, Joe. Have a good evening. W2OYY.
That was their header information, but what you see in a shortcut, but there it's something else off the like MB/engineering. That does, never listed low power channels. That's why I couldn't find any information. Then when 45 went off the air, that's a low power channel, and 41 still on the air, that's some other low power channel out of the city. Are they going to be eventually have to move when the other people have to move? Because I mean, I guess the cellular companies want the entire spectrum completely cleaned out at some point in time, right? Within, what, 3 years, 4 years?
You know, some of them actually are going to either have to be forced off the air or do channel sharing. I think in September the FCC is going to address some of that, so have to wait and see.
Okay, in a case of RF-48, WRNN from Poughkeepsie, they sold their license, they got a bag full of money, and now they're piggybacking off of WWOR's transfer in the city. How much do they charge, how much does the TV channel charge somebody else to come in and occupy a couple of time slots?
No, they don't look at it that way. They're actually adding their stuff to a stream, probably at a pretty low bit rate. I'm sure that they worked out some kind of deal where they essentially pay rent.
Okay. Well, that's good. Everybody's happy. Everybody's making money. Now, nobody who went off the air is approaching your public channel, public service stations, to be able to piggyback on some of their frequencies, right? Or you guys pretty much staying alone?
Well, because we're public television, the rules are slightly different, but because we now own two more licenses, I forget what frequency, what channels they were, we in fact can put on commercial, you know, we can lease some space to some bandwidth to some other broadcaster that's commercial in nature.
I see. I know something was on 13 for a while. They used to have like a third channel in there, something for kids or something, and it just eventually went away. Or maybe it was something related to that. But if it makes you money, that's good. Keeps everybody gainfully employed.
All right. Actually, when I get your email address, I'll send you some of this stuff. You might find it interesting to look at. Anyway, I'm going to go. Actually, I didn't realize they sold the station in Philadelphia, too, which is New Jersey Public Television. That was the UHF. But I think they're relying on their Fenton transmitter to deal with it. But, yeah, some other people in the company know about that. Anyway, 7-3, have a good evening. K2-Jack.
Okay, other computer's already turned on now. Just go to the email thing in a moment, send you something you can send, look back at the email address. There's only one place up in the northeast area that, besides Maine, I think it's someplace in close to Providence, that some stations could be repacked to RF5. That seems to be something that people are not doing, because I don't see a lot of that going around at all. And that's, of course, vacant in this part of the country also. There's no RFR. The nearest one's like down in Delaware someplace.
Now, from what I've seen, there's Channel 2's, Channel 3's, Channel 4's, Channel 5's, and Channel 6's. I can pull up the other list and tell you who's where.
4 is WACP in Atlantic City. I pick them up sometimes. I guess they're going to stay put. 6 in Philadelphia, I get them occasionally when the band opens up. Never been able to get a picture off of Channel 5 for some reason. Even when the band opens up tremendously, I've never been able to. I can see the header information, but I can't lock up on the picture. Something is preventing my kid from Dakota from doing that. But I got a lot of noise in that part of the band, too. A lot of extraneous noise underneath the carrier.
Let me see if I can find a Channel 5 in this list. Here's a 5. Where is it? I haven't moved there yet. There's a bunch of 3's. There's an 8. A lot of 8's. Athens, Ohio has a 6. Cambridge. Northridge, Ohio, 5 or 6. Interesting. WIGP in Schenectady has a 6. I'm not seeing any 5s on the East Coast here. There's 5s on the West Coast. Seems to be 3s, 2s. Oh, here's a 5. It's in Nebraska, Hastings, Nebraska. So, Midwest and West, you'll find 5s. That's probably why you don't ever see anything.
That would be KHAS at Channel 5 in Hastings. I picked that up on when the band has opened up. The other channel I'm thinking of out here is DT36, RF Channel 5. I think it's WMDE.
There's another 5 in Glendive, Montana. And Butte, Montana. Don't have a 6. Interesting. Oh well. I should try a little DX thing. That might be fun.
All right, I'm going to go to my computer here and get off the radio. I got to hit the sack pretty soon. And I'll send you a link, and you'll be able to at least have my email address, WH Worldwide. Whatever you send my way, thanks.
All right, you're welcome. There's another 5 in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So, there you go. WHRY, K2J. Oh, I know why that's stuck in my head. GBH in Boston comes 2019. They go to 5.
I missed that. What was the last comment?
After the transition in 2019, WGBH in Boston, which is currently on 19, they moved to 5.
Oh, okay. Maybe I got my localities mixed up there. Okay, yeah. I remember looking through the different websites, and they were the only one that said they go into a low channel, low VHF, which is kind of odd. I picked them up occasionally when the band opens up, and I don't think that there's any public service stuff up there either, up on the frequency, but who knows. Let me go get to my email, to WHRY.
Have a good evening, K2J.
K2AJWHYY. I do not have you in my address book profile. I don't know what happened. I thought it was there a couple of years ago, but maybe I deleted it or something like that by accident. What are you currently reachable at?
You can use K2AJ@AWRL.net.
Okay, fine. WHYY. Okay, I'm going to sign off the radio for now. I just sent you a simple thing that just says email in the subject line, but that gives you my current email address that I use, WHYY.
Okay. thanks a lot, Eric. BB2BXO.